Okay, verse 31. And when the Lord saw that Leah was hated, he opened her womb, but Rachel was barren. And Leah conceived and bare a son, and she named him Reuben. For she said, surely the Lord hath looked upon my affliction. Now therefore my husband will love me. We're in Genesis 29, verse 33. She conceived again and bare a son, and said, because the Lord hath heard that I was hated, he hath therefore given me this son also. And she called his name Simeon. And she conceived again and bare a son, and said, now this time will my husband be joined to me, because I have borne him three sons. Therefore his name was called, his name called Levi. Verse 35, and she conceived again and bare a son, and she said, now will I praise the Lord. Therefore she called his name Judah and left barren. This morning, afternoon, whatever time it is, I'm going to say that throughout the message. So we're going to talk about performance-based acceptance. Let me say that again. If you're taking notes, you should mark that. The danger, really, of performance-based acceptance. In other words, you have to do something for somebody to accept you. And it's very dangerous to have performance or to live with a performance-based acceptance. Father, I pray, God, that you'll, Lord, work in our hearts and help us to trust you by faith. And God, I pray that our hearts would be open and that you would make the distractions minimal, that we would hear from you, dear God, please. And we know that this is a special circumstance. We just had supper, or rather lunch, and now we're together downstairs and our bellies are full, then it might be that we're so tired that we can't focus and listen. But I pray, God, that you'll help us just for this short time to listen, because it might be that you have something life-altering that you want to teach us this afternoon. And we pray, God, that you will, please, and help us as we learn this great principle of trusting in you. In Jesus' precious holy name we pray and ask. Amen. Now, in our story, Jacob has just been manipulated. Jacob has just been taken advantage of. And we said that last time, isn't it a hard thing whenever you are the one who is taken advantage of? How does it make you feel whenever you know somebody took advantage of you? Well, that's what just happened to Jacob. He's heartbroken. He's sad, no doubt. But now really we're transitioning into a discussion, a lesson on the wives that Jacob has. And God, let me say something about the polygamy here. Let's put our phones away. We're not going to play games during the preaching time. Okay, so whenever God took care of Jacob and brought him through that struggle, then what we had is Jacob and his wife. Now, God isn't condoning polygamy here, where, you know, it's okay to have multiple wives. Anytime in the scripture you see a husband with multiple wives, you never see a happy family. It's never a good situation. I'm not saying that to be funny, because it's true. And God does not condone it. God created one man for one woman to become what? One. Okay? And so that's God's design. But man has a way of getting in there and messing things up. By the way, this is maybe a picture, a glimpse into one of the struggles of the fact that Jacob had two wives. He loved one more than he loved the other. And it came out in that way. And it created such problems in the family. And we'll see more in a detailed way the conflict between the family in, let's see, is my wife down here?
No.
Okay. Because he just shook off, so. All right. That's okay. That's okay. Amen. Yeah. Oh, let's get it. Yeah. Yeah, it's not on her side if something needs to be preached on, I guarantee it. But we're going to see in the next chapter, really, the conflict between Rachel and Leah. And it is so sad when they get into this fight with each other, this brawl that they have. And I almost feel when I was studying this, that it starts in verse 31, really in verse 30, whenever he loved Rachel more than he loved Leah. And so I felt like it was starting right there, the conflict between these two sisters. And maybe it would start here in chapter 29, verse 31, and go all the way through the text in chapter 30. But really it doesn't, because God has something for you and me tonight, this afternoon, that has to do with trusting God and not basing our acceptance in this world, basing it upon our performance. It doesn't need to be that way. And it transfers in our life to a lack of peace. And you're not happy in your life whenever you live performance-based. I mean, to tell you what, whenever, as a pastor, I am looking for my acceptance, or rather my peace, my joy, my happiness, in whether or not I preach a good sermon, or whether or not somebody comes up to me after the message and says, "Oh man, Pastor, that was a good one. You knocked it out of the park." I want to tell you that I have a temptation to feel that way at times. That whenever my message is over, I feel like if I did a good job, then maybe I'm... It makes me feel happy. And I'm not saying that I shouldn't feel happy whenever somebody says, "Good message." But if I'm basing my happiness and my joy and my peace on whether or not somebody is liking how I performed, I am in trouble. Yeah. Or if a man find, guys, if you find your satisfaction, your purpose in work, in your job, in promotion, and how well you do at your job, or how far or how much you promote at your job, and you base your joy, your love, I mean, what you appreciate and the happiness that you have in life in your work, then you are living based upon performance. It's performance-based acceptance, and it'll fail you every time. Or wives, or ladies tonight, this afternoon, ladies that base your acceptance, or rather the peace that you have, on how your family's doing, or how your kids are doing, or how your home looks, or doesn't look. You know, the performance we have as ladies, or that you have as ladies in your family, your children, your home. And whenever you're getting it done and you're doing your job and you're really holding up your end of the deal, then you have that performance-based peace and happiness. But it won't last. Children, young people, teenagers this afternoon that are looking for that happiness and a social status, don't you know that's true? Adults that see the kids in this generation who are just looking for somebody to accept them. If somebody would just accept me. And so they feel as though there's something they have to do in a way of performance that would make them accepted. But here's one I want you to know tonight. I think we should note this in the life of Leah, in her testimony here, and that it's never enough. It doesn't matter how much you do. It doesn't matter how much you promote. It doesn't matter how cool or how popular or what your status is. It doesn't matter how well you do at the home and how clean and spotless your house is. It doesn't matter how well-behaved your children are whenever you're in public. Ooh, I wish we had a better thing on that, but that's not my wife's fault. It doesn't. Those things don't matter because here's why. It's never enough. It'll never be enough if you base your happiness and the peace that you have on performance. It'll always be something more. And that's something Leah needed to learn. She was basing her peace, the removal of depression, the removal of the trial, the extreme pressure that she was feeling as being the outcast, if you can imagine. The second wife that was the first wife, but is the second because she's not as loved. Constantly trying to do something to make herself loved, right? Verse 31, it says, "And when the Lord saw Leah was hated, he opened her womb and Rachel was barren." So God sees whenever we're not treated right. God knows whenever you're not treated right. He knows whenever your family situation's rough. He knows whenever things at home aren't good. He knows when your job situation isn't fair. He knows whenever you're not being treated fairly at school or with friends or in social status. He knows that. And if you're faithful, watch this, he will bless you. He will bless you because he does see. And ultimately, those who are living wrong and are having the wrong attitude, they will be barren and cursed by God, won't they? Well, this is a principle that's true in our life. And God saw that she was rejected. He blessed her, didn't he? Blessed her with a fruit. And he saw that Rachel was the one who was part of the problem with Jacob, and she was barren. Verse 32, Leah conceived, she bare a son, and here's where really we see the performance-based acceptance really kicking in, where she thought because she had a son, by the way, the first son, I mean the heir, the one who is the first son in the family. This is a big deal. It's not a small thing, especially for the Hebrew home. And she said, surely the Lord hath looked upon my affliction. Now my husband will love me, she says. Sometimes we, like Leah, feel like our contentment can be found whenever we do something that will make others accept us. And whenever other people start accepting us, our loneliness and our depression will be gone, which is what she was wanting. She wanted to be loved, and she was being neglected. And she felt like because of something she did, then she would be loved, and then she would be accepted, and her loneliness and her depression would be gone. Yeah. So she conceived a son. She called him Reuben. What does that mean? That God had looked upon her depression. That's what it means. She believed that Jacob would love her because of this son. Next, verse 33, she conceived again, bare a son. She said, the Lord hath heard that I was hated. I think that's important to note that the first time the Lord looked, verse 32, and this time the Lord heard that she was hated. He has therefore given me a son, called his name Simeon. So her contentment, she thought it could be found by something she did. Now listen, by doing something, which was the having of a child. And at times we feel like in our life that this rejection or this struggle, this strife that we feel in our family, this lack of contentment that we have with the life that God has given to us, that we can find contentment if there's something that we could do that would make us accepted, that would make us, that would give us that contentment. And then it would make all of those that are around us stop saying bad things about us. Like she believed, this verbal rejection that she was feeling would stop. Verbal rejection. I couldn't imagine being in the home where, you know, it's a, you know, sort of a tough family situation, but she was not only having these children, hoping that it would bring acceptance between her and her husband, but there's a verbal situation happening. There's in the home some kind of a verbal attack. She hoped that maybe there was something she could do that would remove that, but it didn't. The first one didn't work, did it? And obviously the second one didn't bring her the peace she was wanting. So maybe the third one will, right? There's got to be something else I could do that will take this pain that I'm feeling away. And so verse 34, she conceived again, bare a son, and now this time will my husband be joined unto me, which is what she wanted desperately, is to be joined to her husband. She bore him three sons. She called him Levi. She thought, well, maybe he'll cleave to me. Now, contentment, she thought, could be found in something that she did here, having this next child that would bring her that true cleaving. And I think sometimes we look for that in our relationships. We look for that true friendship, that true satisfaction and contentment through the relationships that are around us. And whenever we, like Leah, are basing our acceptance on a relational standard, what we're always going to find is that we will be disappointed every time. Performance-based acceptance can never bring contentment. And I think we should mark that in our minds. Performance-based acceptance can never bring the kind of contentment that only God can bring. So you're working hard to bring peace in your life. You're working hard to bring peace in your situation. There's a peace that only God can give you. A contentment in what in him, a peace that only he can give. And she learned that, didn't she? Finally, she learned. Verse 35, she conceived again, bare a son, and she said, now my husband will accept me, right? No. She said, now will I praise the Lord. Therefore, she called his name Judah and left bearing Judah. You know what Judah means? Praise. Just means praise. She didn't say anything about her husband, did she? She just praised the Lord. You know, I think as humans, we tend to believe that contentment can only come based upon our performance. Well, you know, Pastor, you know, he'll really think something of me if I do this. Or, listen, ladies, your husband or your, you know, your friend, you know, they'll really appreciate me. They'll really think something of me. They'll really be, you know, we'll really be close if I just do this, then we'll be close. Maybe it's me. Maybe it's something I'm not doing right. And it'll bring me that closeness. So you see, she thought if she had sons, it would bring her acceptance, and then she would have peace. That's what she thought. But she was wrong. Yeah. She found that acceptance based upon her performance would not bring the peace that she wanted. So do you know what she learned to do? Praise the Lord for her circumstances. Just praise the Lord for the life that God gave to her. You know, some of us have been dealt a bad hand. Let's just be honest about it. I'm almost done, so listen close. Some of us have been dealt a bad hand. That means we've got some rough things in our life, in our past. So what does God want us to learn to do? Praise Him. Praise Him no matter what your circumstances are. Praise Him if things are good. Praise Him if things aren't so good. Praise Him if people love you and you're popular and you're pretty and guys, you're elevated in status or you're promoting at work. Praise Him then, yeah. Praise Him if it's not so good. Praise Him if you're not promoting. Praise Him if it doesn't matter what you do. It's not helping. It's just getting worse. Praise Him. Because somebody who's truly content, their life is not based upon performance, is it? It's based upon praise. I think you can find out real quick whenever you get to know somebody where they find contentment, or if they're content at all. You get around somebody and they're really good at complaining. It doesn't matter when you get around them, and somewhere in the conversation, there's complaining starts. What does that mean? It just means they're not content. But you know, it's amazing to me. I have found that I get around people that I know their situation's bad, and you would never know it, because all they have to say is praises to God. Isn't that amazing? That. Yes, our job situation might be tough, but you can praise Him. Why? Because you have a job. And our family situation might have some turmoil going on, but you know, we can praise Him because we have a family, or because some of our family might be saved, or hey, you know what? If you don't have much to praise God for about your family, you can praise that God's your family. He's your Father. Praise the Lord. Praise Him. He deserves praise. And when we're content, then we won't have a problem praising. We might be misunderstood. I have found that teens feel misunderstood a lot. You know, a lot of times because they are. Just be honest about it. But even though you're misunderstood, it doesn't mean that there's nothing to praise God about. There's always something to praise Him about. I remember times in my life, even when I moved to Falls City, but I wanted to know, church, that I wasn't content. And whenever I talked to somebody about Falls City, whether I was out or here or there or didn't matter where, I didn't have much good to say. Not because I didn't care. It's because I wasn't content. And I would complain. And I would play the woe is me, woe is me. I'm in Falls City. Nobody likes me. Everybody waves, but they don't mean it. They don't really mean it. Did you know that whenever I became content, oh man, my attitude changed and I started praising God, and I am so glad to be here. And I mean to tell you, I'm honest about that. And all of a sudden, the people who waved at me really did mean it after that. Because I was content. Falsity didn't change, I did. My situation didn't change, I did. I praised him because I was content. Working, working, working to be a better wife. They'll accept me and then I'll be content. No, you won't. Working, working, working to be a better worker, right? So you can promote and get more money, right? Because that's what it's all about. You get promoted, you get more money, but you're not content. Because it's never enough. Working, working to be a better child so that I can have freedom, so I can have a phone, so I can get a car. Oh, yes. So I can be content after that, right? No. You'll not be content. You'll not know that you're content until your life is characterized by praise. And you know, I think tonight we can do an evaluation, can't we? Because some of us, it might be that we've not been praising God. And it just shows us that we're not content. So let's be like Rachel. Or rather, not Rachel. Don't be like her. Be like Leah. Thank you. And learn to be content. Whatsoever state, like Paul says, that I am, therewith to be content. Learn contentment. You know what? I think naturally happens. We'll start to praise him for our circumstances. So today, let's praise him. Praise him. He deserves praise. Father, we pray that you'll help us to be content, Lord. And we thank you for this lesson that we've heard from Leah. And Lord, we see this transition, and you, we could tell it took years, Lord, for her to learn this contentment and this process of learning to praise you, Lord. But we pray, we thank you for the lesson that we've seen in her life. And I pray, God, you'll help us to apply contentment to our circumstance and our situation, whether it's in family or whether it's in our job or whether it's in our status in other ways, Lord. Help us not to be focused on our performance, but to be content and praise you. We'll give you glory in Jesus' precious holy name. Amen.